Welcome to the King Abrams Show, everyone. Here we are. It is February 2022. I think people are over the coronavirus.
I think
everybody's over it, right?
Is over it. Hello, Sam.
Hi, Sam.
Just seeing how do we look? We look pretty good.
I think we look all right. I'm doing different little something with my hair tonight.
So just to let our audience out there know.
Oh God, here we go.
That I had a little bite of this.
Right.
Mushroom chocolate bar.
Mushroom chocolate bars.
So we'll see what happens to Sam.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I admittedly ate a little yesterday.
Oh, you did? How was that?
It was great. I had a good time all by myself. Mm-hmm. Nobody was looking, so it's just.
Were you tweaking?
No. No. Okay. It's mushrooms. It's very mild.
Yeah, I think people get so freaked out about mushrooms, they think it's going to be this whole big crazy experience.
Yeah, it's
pretty much just makes you have to fart a lot.
Huh? I yawn.
Gives you some gas.
That's
yawning.
Funny.
It is. It's like a yawning, gas, and then it gives you some energy, but it makes you laugh sometimes.
Yeah, I was cracking up all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to actually get some like work done too, creative work.
Really?
Yeah, like I can draw and
write.
Sometimes I can write.
Now, did you microdose or major dose?
I would never major dose.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it microdosing either.
Okay, because white people, we do like an eighth.
Y'all do a lot.
Each.
Holy shit.
We do an eighth each.
Yeah.
Or else you're not getting fucked up on
white mushrooms. People introduced me to mushrooms way back in the day.
Yeah. White people introduced me to mushrooms too.
So yeah, no, it had been many, 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 many years since I used to love that back in my 20s. You know,
yeah.
I'd make a tea and like just like have a sip.
Right. When I first went to college, I literally think I did mushrooms for a week straight.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Just because we were sitting in the dorm bored, first time on my own, nobody to say no, Sam, and it was kind of weird. I'll never forget the memory of just being so high on mushrooms, sitting in my dorm room by myself. Like, this kind of sucks.
Right.
I miss my mom and dad.
Yeah, right. You don't want to do. Yeah, just like, a little dabble do you.
A little dabble do you.
Yeah.
A little dabble do you. I like that. So, Sam, what do you want to talk about today? We were saying we wanted to venture further into the world of orgasm.
Is that what I said? I didn't say such a thing.
You said you wanted to venture deep inside the world of orgasm and the misunderstandings. Is that right or no?
That's one way to put it.
Okay.
So last week we talked about lots of different topics.
Yeah, we did.
Apparently more, not that we're that popular as a podcast, but more that I think having trans porn and other sex stuff in the title kind of helped. And so we have like almost double the views.
No, that's great. I would say anytime we can throw trans porn in
the title,
we might want to even change the name of the show to trans porn. Just saying.
You know, I think I mentioned last show, there was more than one guy who thought, just assumed that I was trans. Like, that is my insecurity. I feel like
that ain't right.
No, you know, like, I don't think I'm ugly, but when I do post pictures on social, I just know that there's a certain percent of the male population that are like zooming in on my neck, you know, just to,
I don't know. I think that's your insecurity. I don't think a lot of people think you're a male.
I don't know.
But
yeah,
your cousin who came to visit, she was, you know, kind of a little tougher. She's more of a tomboy.
Right. Well, I'm actually very much a tomboy.
Yeah. It's maybe that's it, where your insecurity comes from, is you're more of a tomboy.
I'm kind of a tomboy.
But you don't actually look like a man.
But people think I'm gay. No, seriously.
I don't think you're a chick with a dick.
I'm not. I have a C-section.
Let's clarify that.
No, I think our family, we have these sort of sharp lines.
But that's good, though. That's what makes somebody a model. Look at mine. See my shit? When I turn to the side, I don't have that. Unless I do that. But you, like, every angle, you kill it.
Well.
With your...
Thank you. I don't know about that, but thank you.
You have a prominent shin bone.
Yeah. And I think my niece, you said cousin, but she also has a very strong
cheekbone. Well, I don't want to get in trouble with her.
She'll beat your fucking ass.
I know. I could tell. When she was over, my niece. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Yeah. She's a good kid. She's seen a lot. We've seen a lot in our family.
I mean, yeah. Well, it goes to show you any child that, I don't know, goes through a lot of trauma, they carry that into adulthood, and it just sometimes can never get fixed. Or I could never imagine a child being raised without parents in a sense. But there's so many adults out there who are coping and doing it.
Yeah.
So.
Or with parents that are crazy as cat shit. There's that
too. I think about people who are like, hey, don't toast your bread because you'll get AIDS. I don't know. Like, just random shit some crazy parent could tell their kid. Yeah. And a kid believes everything. Or a child, I think, you know, loves their parent even if they're on death row. So it's like,
we're programmed to love parents no matter what. Yeah, you kind of, that's something that, you know, it's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So last week we had a very sort of well-rounded conversation.
I would say so.
We ended with
something dirty.
Yeah.
Oh. I said something, I remember.
Yeah, you said, yeah.
Was it anal bleaching?
I think you said, no, what are you talking about?
I don't know, something random.
We ended with a conversation about pleasing your partner in bed.
Pleasing your partner. Mm-hmm.
But then upon review, like on all the way out, mm-hmm. at the tail of the show, I'm trying to remember the term you said, which was going to get us canceled. You
were talking about trans. Say it again.
I'm trying to think of it. Yeah. Yeah, it was really bad.
But I was thinking about this the other day because we mentioned how porn, I was listening to a rap song day, today on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole rap song day. But this rapper was saying something about, he was just bragging about how big his dick was. Kind of same old stuff, how he was going to murder the pussy in so many metaphors. And it just like kind of makes me think of how we've talked of this whole idea in a man's head.
Yeah.
That sex is going to be this prison style type rape scenario. So right. I'm just going to warn you. Okay. I'm going to fuck, you know, a lot of porn.
Gotta dominate.
Is violent. I'm going to dominate this pussy.
Yeah.
Where?
It's because of porn.
It's because of porn. I mean, and look, I love porn just as much as the next girl. But I do realize if you're not a man who knows how to use porn correctly, that it gives a lot of males the wrong idea of what a female is there for, or how to treat her as an equal if we're like, come here, you whore. Like, you know, like, in the way that you want to have sex and disrespect a woman, maybe potentially.
Right. I mean, I think there's a fine line between sort of how men interpret what they're watching and how they, what their takeaways are and what they're taking into the bedroom.
Mm, right.
Because there is a legitimate thing called role play, and sure. It's okay to, you know, role play some kind of strange scenarios, but
talking some shit,
like stranger danger scenarios or whatever you want to.
What is stranger danger?
No, I mean, you know, women, some people that have that rape fantasy all the way to.
Do people have the rape fantasy?
I think so.
Men and women alike?
I would imagine.
Mm. That's something I don't quite understand, because a woman being fearful while we're having sex is immediately a turnoff.
No, I think the fantasy looks.
Shut up! Shut the fuck up, Sam! Like that, kind of?
No. I think the fantasy is more like, do you remember that Red Shoe Diaries show?
No.
Well, there was this show
Red
Shoe. Like Lifetime. It was for females. It was called Red Shoe Diaries. And so it was.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, well, it was very sort of, it was, you know, the demographic certainly was intended to be women.
Probably are wearing a tampon at the time. No.
What? No, Red Shoe.
Red Shoe. No, I don't mean that. I just mean you're for women who are menstruating and want to cry.
No, not at all. These were sex stories.
Okay.
These were sex fantasy stories.
Strike that from the record.
Yeah. Red Shoe Diaries. Okay. I bet you're... Ask Liz if she's ever heard of it. It's from way back.
I don't know if she watches Lifetime.
Like, back in the 90s, it was this big thing.
Okay.
Whatever. And so, the rape fantasy, when you would... You know, the imagery was more like... I remember there was one show where there was a woman and she was taking a cruise. So, she was on a boat. And she was kind of leaning over, looking out into the ocean. And the cabin behind her, the door opened and some guy's hand came out. And so they ended up having sex and you never actually saw this guy's face.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's and just neither the creepy did she. Hand that's like,
yeah, he grabs her and then they start, you know, it's Red Shoe Diaries. It's all. So that is, it's not like, come here, bitch. And then there's no fear in your
I'm probably more into the come here, bitch stuff. So the Red Shoe Diary is this fantasy show about rape?
It was
rape
a fantasy show. No, not about rape. It was a show about female fantasies.
Oh, okay. So, but you said rape. I didn't, where did that come into?
Well, what I was saying was, I think people do have the rape fantasy, but if for females, I can't speak for males.
Okay.
But it looks more like something out of Red Shoe Diaries.
Got it.
It's sort
I
of
understand.
Soft. And
I mean,
and,
look, I think like we've said, there is that point in sex where, like I've said, Ali Wong famously said there, I want you to be real nice and real gentle. And then just at the last 30 seconds, get real rapey.
Right.
You know, which is so funny because that's where people are going to pull my hair, you know.
Yeah.
But you realize.
Yeah.
There
that's rapey,
is the
having
time,
your hair pulled, right?
You know, yes. I've had. No, I haven't had my hair pulled. Really.
I'm just saying. It's
just because at my age, I got to try and keep this shit in so I don't let anybody pull.
But that's kind of a rapey-ish sort of fantasy.
Pulling hair. Yeah.
Kinky thing.
I mean, choking, pulling hair.
Yeah, right.
Smacking an ass, you know, I mean, these are all very wonderfully enjoyable things, but I guess could be classify it under that
a little rapey,
you know, and the rapey.
Yeah,
the rapey
I mean, sound. Rough sex. Who knows? I mean, it's again, it depends how you sort of aggregate your fantasy,
right?
And what you're doing with it in your head,
right.
Like if you really are, you know, demoralizing.
Yes, like fuck this. Fuck
yeah,
this,
and then maybe
fuck
you know,
you're like. It's a sharing thing, but I think it's almost sex kind of becomes, if you're working out or playing a sport in a way, you're getting competitive. So it becomes this point where, you know, you're playing as hard as you can at the end there to score a touchdown in a sense. So
right.
I think, but it starts out as this slow momentum that you have to build into. And then you'll know, like we've talked about, when the woman... I've said this before, when a woman is ready and she's like really starting to think about like, okay, I'm getting there, is when the guy is usually done.
Hmm.
So it's how does the guy hold that and work his woman up so they can match the orgasm.
Well, no, I feel like that is something that I usually control. Because you can't just put it all on him out the gate. He's gonna, you know, go too fast. So
right, yes.
Yeah, I feel like
I think yeah, you can't put it all out.
Right, and I feel like you know, leave it up to most men. Right, they're gonna just. It's hard for you guys to control your.
That's why you gotta get one out of the chamber before we even meet up. You know what I mean? Like get one out of the chamber. Two if she's super hot. So
wow.
That way you're on nut number three, which is not going to come as quick as one and two.
Right, right. Well, that's a good idea.
There's
maybe
strategies. I've
never
to
even
this.
Heard of that.
Definitely strategy. Get rid of one.
Get rid of one.
I mean, if you're going with a woman who is going to be very excitable, do yourself a favor, get one out of the chamber so you're hitting her with number two, at least.
That's a great idea.
It's not a great idea. It's a great practice. It works.
So guys are doing that?
I don't know about guys. I
do. Oh. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm knowing that, you know, I don't know, or some of my wife and I are having a session, I'm definitely, now there's some of those number ones that, yeah, I just, hey, wow, it's just, man, I'm controlling this and, you know, strong, everything. And then there's those other times, like, oh, okay, I gotta take a break. This is so sensitive. Okay, mm-hmm. hold on, give me a second. Mm-hmm. I'm good. But when it's on the second, it's just you're not as sensitive. Yeah, it takes
a little longer, right? Yeah.
Right. It takes a little bit longer. Where that first is, that can be if it's excitable.
Yeah.
That's where a guy can bust before a man can ejaculate before it even leaves the pants. It's so exciting. I mean,
wow.
Talk about that.
Jesus, disappointment. Hell.
All excited. Oh, take it off. Go.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then he's like, oh.
I would laugh.
I gotta work really early in the morning.
I would start laughing.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I would not. That's very mean. I wouldn't do that.
So now you'd have to let them recharge and start again. But yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I think the important thing is just about, again, we were talking last week about paying attention to your partner's body language.
Yes.
You know, if you care about the person, you're there to please them, then you should certainly be paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I mean, naturally, I wonder if that's a female thing. I mean, guys.
I think it's a female thing because guys, by nature, we're not even. I mean, the whole, you know, it goes back to like, you know, so deep, put her ass to sleep. You know? Every sexual term, every song is, even like going back to like Led Zeppelin, that one song, Love It, Leave It, You're Just a Woman. You know, love it, live it. You're just a woman.
That's crazy.
And it's just everything, the whole, there, I mean, in most religions, when you look back at sex and everything, there's no talk of orgasm. There's no talk
Not the of pleasing. Female orgasm.
Exactly.
Right.
It's just the male orgasm. Yeah. And it's like, hey, a lot of marriages we've talked like, it's if you're married, it's not rape. If the husband wants to do whatever he wants with you.
Yeah, there's some it. Still,
you know,
I
that's
think,
that's kind of traditionally.
Some lingering medieval thinking.
Yes, and I think there's
you know?
A lot of it.
Yeah.
Within our male psyche.
Right.
Of where there is no thought about the female's orgasm. What is that? Most
and
men
I think
don't care or know what it is.
That also, I feel like it bleeds into this hope. Culture, this horror culture in terms of
culture,
the horticultures. Yeah, no, in terms of the judgment that women, the labels and the judgment that women undergo just from being sexual,
right?
Just for wanting to have an orgasm. I mean, that's
it goes back to what I was saying is that intimidation factor. Men are intimidated by a woman who is a hoe because he might not be able to perform as well as she's used to. You know, if that makes sense. Like,
wow.
A guy who's a hoe, a woman, maybe she'd care or something. But I think to a guy,
no,
it's like, ew, she's a hoe. She fucks. Or it's like, ew, she fucks everybody. Why the fuck do I want to fuck her? You know?
Mm.
That's kind of nasty. But I think, yeah, why are women not allowed to be hoes, but men are? Men are high-fived, women are shamed.
Well, I think, yeah, and I think there's two pieces to that because
two pieces
to the puzzle because it's not that just, you know, there. I doubt that there's not a lot of women out there who say, oh, she fucks everybody. That's not really true.
Right.
Okay. She fucks who she wants to fuck.
Right. Exactly. Some people fuck everybody.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. But at any rate, it's not just whether she has a high body count. It's also if she's sexual. Like, you know, you can encounter a woman who's like, wow, you know, she opens her closet. She's got the whips and chains. And then you're just assuming somehow. Right.
I think a lot of men, honestly, they're not prepared for a full on sex session of 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. I would gander that most men are good for about a 10 to 15 minute love session. And I would say that's probably being generous.
Damn.
But I don't have any of these facts at all.
I don't have any facts.
But what do you think?
I mean, again, that's something I control. I mean, I feel like 90 seems high.
There's no focus in our culture on the female orgasm.
Not at all. No.
Look at every piece of sex ever filmed on tape is fake. Every sexy.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. Right.
And the guy's
nobody comes like that.
Fucked her in 30 seconds and made her come like a. That's like.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
You know, no, you didn't, dog. She just fucking Lisa Spano'd you.
Right. Right.
So
yeah, no, it's
that's the thing. I think all of our entertainment, even in our mind, of what we're used to hearing. Oh, why isn't she screaming? Why isn't she? A lot of times, personally, an orgasm for a woman can just be, you're like not hearing much. And then also,
you kind of have to hold your breath a little.
You never know. Like, it's not this fake.
Nobody's screaming. Oh, that's all bullshit. Zaddy. That's all bullshit. That's so distracting.
It's just really theater for women who are acting like men are pleasing them.
Right. Because they need that.
Women who are just pleasing.
They need that ego.
The men need to feel like they dominated pussy. No right. matter what.
Whether she comes or not.
Yeah. If they came in 30 seconds, like, yeah, how was that? Oh, Zaddy, that was the best. That was even longer than last time. I think it is.
Does it depend on whether the guy really is into his partner? If he's really in love, you guys are just in it for the stroking.
If he thinks he's in love, I think most men just don't even care about the orgasm. I would love to hear what other men have to say about it. But I think most men are there to get their nut off. And that's it.
Most of them.
I don't know.
90% sounds kind of high, but I would agree with
89%.
I would agree with maybe most.
I mean, you're a woman, so I haven't been with a lot of men and been disappointed by nuts. Okay, let me rephrase that. I've never been with a man, so you've been with men, so you'd know better than I.
Well, I mean, again, I control that piece. I'm not a controller. I can sort of play both roles.
And you probably pick out men that you have an idea will be like if you want to be pleased, or you're like, oh, I think this guy is gonna do it.
I don't know if you can tell.
Right, until
you gotta get to know them a little bit, but and literally talk about those things.
Well, so there's a good difference. A man can have a one-night stand and we don't need to talk about shit. I can bust a nut. I know I'm going
to
do it.
I don't need to talk about anything with a guy I'm going to have a one-night stand with.
But I think a lot of women, in order to get a one-night stand and have it be satisfactory, they would have to have some conversation with that guy prior, maybe within that night, of what leads to, this guy sounds like he knows what he's...
There is a lot of drunk fucking happening out there with these people when you're in, you know, between the ages of 19 and 30. Like,
but is there a lot of women orgasming?
I don't think so. I don't think women in their right mind would choose a one night stand because that happens when she's drunk.
Right. And the likelihood of her.
Or like really hurt her friends, take her to Vegas and like,
right.
Whatever.
And I'd say most circumstances, those women end up feeling that I feel like a whore. I feel used.
Yeah, no, there's really nothing satisfying about that.
Because I believe in the way most men know to have sex. I mean, if you're okay, let's say we're drunk, Vegas. Yeah, you hook up with this girl, the average guy, you know, the clothes off, fucker, and it's just again, it's not anything I think that is thought of as romantic.
No,
on the guy's
it's just
side.
Physical.
And again, it's well, obviously, it's physical, it's sex, but I think for the man, he's in there to get what he needs and get out. And I think that's where some of this women feeling guilt or this kind of hove type feeling is because a lot of times there isn't the satisfaction. You know what I mean? It's probably this disappointing experience sometimes that they're left cut short.
I don't know.
Is that right?
I think maybe men hope they wake up feeling guilty.
No, I don't know. But I'm just wondering if they're like, oh, wow. I hooked up with that guy.
I think
and did this
with a one night stand,
I didn't even bust a nut. Like, what's the point?
No. Well, when you're drunk fucking, you're probably not gonna bust a nut, especially if you're female, because your genitals are numb.
Right, and that's the problem. So see, for a guy, I'm still gonna bust that nut.
Yeah,
Is this too much?
You're gonna die. No, I would.
I'll chill out on the mushroom.
Yeah, wait. You're not gonna die. No, you're not gonna die. It's very mild stuff, but
I'll save it. But I don't want to also eat all your chocolate. Yeah.
There's some left in there, and I'm good for a while.
I know, but you can't see it. I haven't eaten that.
Yeah,
much.
Jesus, what were we talking about? So no, I think the thing is, it's not that women. Again, a woman and most women in their right mind will not choose the one night stand.
Right. Yeah.
They gotta be feeling reckless, feeling drunk or something.
You have to build a relationship most times with a woman.
What we're doing, it may be, you know, that we are, you know, moving towards a man to fall in love with him, but we also may be moving towards him for physical strategy.
Right.
Right.
And there's that comfort in, hey, I don't want to just have a one night stand. Here's this.
Yeah.
Guy
so I'm going to get to know you. I'm going to make sure you're sexy to me.
Right.
I'm going to make sure that when we do jump into bed, that you're into the same shit that I'm into.
Right. Same freaky shit. I'm
right.
Into.
You know, you have to test that chemistry and then you go for it.
I like that. What is too freaky? Is there too
I
freaky?
Don't think there's such a thing. I think, well, listen. If two people agree to perform some activity in bed,
yeah,
or on a balcony or where the fuck, and they're both into it and they're, you know, getting their rocks off, then there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. I don't care what they're doing. However, there is some wild shit people are into, like, you know, fuck a golden shower. Like, there's people
Have you ever been pissed golden showered? I'm not a big golden shower. I don't.
You're not a big golden shower guy? I've never.
Let me check
that.
The records on that. I don't think I've ever golden showered anyone.
Mm-mm, I have not.
Maybe have been.
Nor
showered.
Have I been.
I maybe
showered.
Been showered upon.
Huh.
Now let
oh,
me
wait,
let
I
me define this.
Maybe by accident.
Now this is back in the Dizzy.
Yeah.
You know, PM I call pre-marriage.
So a girl peed on you?
Not R. Kelly style.
Wait, what?
But after going down on her and satisfying her, she hosed me. But I don't think
right.
It was pee.
Yeah. So, well, she right. Is people. That's what the right. If she maybe is what they call a squirter.
Is that a golden
pee.
Shower too?
It's pee. She just can't help it. It's pee. Everybody. It's mixed with. She just.
So I did get golden.
Yeah,
shower.
But it's okay.
I had to like.
It was in the moment. All the
second
adrenaline
time
was
you
in the
learn,
right place.
Second time you learn.
You bring an umbrella.
But what is that all about?
It just
and
now
to me it felt.
It's both.
I'll never forget that. I mean, it's back both. back in the Dizzy, and it was one of the highlights of my career.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God, this has to be the height of satisfaction. I've never seen a woman do that.
Yeah. Well, it's
kind of nasty.
It's not all the way urine. It's also, you know, part of her vaginal lubrication.
Sure.
In that moment, she's having
it.
Orgasm. Right, she will produce. Some women produce way more lubricant than others naturally, and then the muscles.
All women do that. Or is not?
No. I don't know that all women do. I think it depends on how your glands are working down there and how much water you've drank. You know, you
Jesus man,
consumed.
She drank a lot of water.
And so then the muscles contract, and then sometimes something squirts out. Hence the term squirter. But then usually when you're at that level, if you've got any urine anywhere in the vicinity, it's gonna come out too.
Mm. So now. Can somebody squirt when you've had sex, or is it just when going down on someone? I guess.
Oh yeah, you can.
You can squirt
yeah,
on sex
yeah. Too, now that's definitely pee. If you're having intercourse and you're hitting a spot that's causing every time you hit it, she's squirting. You're just pushing on her.
So you got to get some plastic.
Her bladder.
Covers. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, that was like I said, that was a highlight because I was like, oh wow, that was something. The first time, big surprise. Second time, I knew it was coming. So you're able to kind of, like I said, shield yourself. But it was, I don't know, it was one of these things where you're kind of
like
nasty,
that.
Grossed out by it. But,
right. But you
it
did
also
it.
Feels like quite an accomplishment.
Right.
In the same because you're like, this is a, you know, if this is spraying something, what is that saying?
You say, look what I did.
Look what I did.
Yeah, that's what it feels like for the guy, huh?
I don't know. It's pretty exciting for me.
All guys are squirters.
Well, yeah. I never thought about that, but yeah. Some guys are drizzlers.
Ew.
Yeah. No, I wonder if they have competitions, like how far a guy can shoot it.
I guess that's the equivalent to, like, you know, the way a guy feels, you know, having made a woman squirt.
Yeah.
If you know, if he drizzles, it's like, wah, wah.
Mm.
But if he, you know, the further it goes.
Yeah, further he goes, the more excited he is.
Yeah.
I mean, because obviously when you're having sex, have a kid, you know, the goal is to just blah, 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 not gonna shoot it up. You want to shoot it up into her chin.
Oh,
if you can get it that high.
Damn it.
I mean, I have three kids, you know, I aim for the chin.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you do
that. Every time. What about the difference of women who, and I think we've said this, enjoy giving head and don't give head? And we've talked about this.
Yeah, the difference?
Not that, I guess not the difference, but the importance of women needing to get over the nasty, like, okay, if a guy goes down on a girl, but a girl is freaked out by him busting a nut in her mouth, like, get over it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, what to tell these people. I don't know how they compete. But
ew, yeah.
Right. I mean, either way,
feel like if I was going down, so I'm like, I'll keep going, but
no. It's like, yeah. Why? First that's of all, you're down. Gonna okay, if you don't like doing it, like women that don't like having a penis in their mouth. Like yeah, they think shame it's on gross.
You. Can we say that?
Yeah, shame on you.
Shame on those bitches.
I don't know how that happens.
You're not gonna live in this here world.
But people are the way they are for a reason.
Right.
You're not gonna live in this ship these motherfuckers off to an might alien be planet. A
Because I mean, every guy will tell you that, yo, a waifu, you know. But again, it's the guy expecting the woman to please the guy. You know, it's always, oh, yeah, waifu.
I mean, if you can kiss a man's mouth after a shower, after you brush your teeth, mm-hmm. you have more germs in your mouth than you do on your penis.
Yeah, I almost think I don't know a lot why. Of people are more willing to suck your dick than kiss you. I mean, these people, like, they're like, right. they're like, no, you can eat my pussy, but we can't kiss, you know, like. People are right. Way more germophobes about that's again, but mouth. I think the mouth and kissing is kind of the most intimate thing you can do because even pleasing somebody going down and somebody going down on you, it's physical, it's sexual, but kissing is face to face. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of when you know you're sharing some real emotion, I believe, is like well, through a kiss, you know, in a sense.
Intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. If you're talking about intimacy.
I always go back to
But pleasing a man orally is also a very intimate type of kiss.
It is. Oh.
And hey, it can be. It can be very intimate. Even if you're in love with him and, you know, or you for whatever, you really enjoy him and you're able to sort of crack his code, that is, know yeah. exactly what and how he likes it,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, for some women... Those of us that enjoy that practice, it can feel very connecting too.
No, it's very
but intimate yeah, I think you're
because
right.
you're making somebody come. So obviously
yeah, yeah.
it's better than a kiss. I guess I think about the pretty woman thing where she's right. like, hey, we no can do everything kissing. But no kissing.
Right.
You know, like a
right.
that whole kind of thought process. But
yeah, yeah. No, I get
you know,
that.
If we kiss, then we're actually in love.
I've actually control that and have, you know, relationships.
Did you just look up to God?
There was no.
Okay. I thought you just looked up. You're like, I've controlled that. And I was like.
No, I was thinking, yeah.
Okay.
Where, you know, I didn't kiss, but yet we could basically do everything else.
Right. I think that's what I'm kind of saying. It's
because
like,
I didn't want to fall in love.
Right. So I think there's some.
Yeah, there's some validity to what you said.
There is a connection more so through the heart, let's say through kissing, whereas you can have a connection emotionally with somebody by going down on them something sexually, but then once it's over, it's, you know, it was, oh, that was sexual. That
see you later.
Right? I mean, how many people love that to just be able to do what you want to do, feel great, and then, yeah, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think most people bullshit around in that whole, this is,
yeah, I don't know why you don't. People, I think people sex. Sometimes, yeah, can just overthink. I mean, you can have a purely sexual relationship and not overthink shit and just, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. That'd be. I've never been able to do that personally, well, but I've been married forever too.
Yeah,
fucking.
Yeah.
My wife weights me down, man.
What?
Seriously, I could just be having one of those sexual relationships.
Hilarious.
I mean, think about that, though. I mean, it's terrible. But I had just some other relationship that was purely sexual, well, yeah, I guess I am cheating then, but it's, you know, I've said before, like, most marriages break up because financial reasons or cheating.
So and I think
you can take those off the table.
I think that the people who are engaged in these types of relationships where it's purely sexual, nobody's getting dramatic and everything's fine, are people that whose marriages have failed. These are people that are divorced, right. that right. are in an age where they're mature good enough.
Relationships or not.
Yeah. You know, well, no, I think they're in an age. Not good,
but it's just, yeah, you're like.
Especially women, like once we, you know, there's a lot of people in my demographic who are, you know, my age group, a couple, some kids, divorced, mm-hmm. and really don't want to deal with the drama anymore.
Fine as hell.
Well, you thank you.
No, there is a lot of single. I mean, my sister is a
no strings.
Single mom, same age, you know, kind of like you. And yeah, no, there's, I don't know. I feel like you hear about more people that are divorced than not.
Yeah.
And you really realize that, I think we've talked about this a lot, but that people are just not compatible for relationships. We're not really built for monogamous relationships to be complete partners where we really share it 50-50 or it can be I'm terrible about it. My wife will tell you, you know, Sam, if you can please do just like one thing around the house today, that'd be awesome. Like switch I forgot to switch the laundry.
She's
gonna kill me. So like, you know, now the laundry is like mildewed or wet. And so I try as a husband to do like or the dishes, you know, but like yeah. I'm trying it's hard, like I'm an artist, but I'm trying to hustle. How am I making money? I'm trying to figure out generational wealth. But I think that sometimes too, like men, we get so caught up. How am I going to be a millionaire and support my family? And then women are more rational. And like my wife's a speech therapist. She works at the school. So she's had a consistent job our entire marriage at times when I haven't, you know, she's always, but it's almost like men where we're always like trying to leap off this cliff and honey, trust me, I'm trying to fly. And you know, freaking.
No, I feel like a lot of times people go into marriages thinking, you know, based off of what? Movies, culture, what is this supposed to be?
There's the wedding and then there's the marriage. I tell people
he's supposed people to only have eyes for me.
Right.
And she's going to cook and clean and kiss my wounds and, you know, make it all better.
Or a $60,000 day where the woman finally gets to be the fairy tale princess, which is really for affluent
for the people, wedding. Yeah. You know?
And it's this whole thing like, oh my God, I'm a princess, but it might be the only day that guy treats her that special. Like, I've been at people's weddings where the dude's treating her like shit on the wedding day, you know, there's the wedding, but what's real is the marriage. That's the marathon.
It's the relationship.
That's the relationship. Yeah. That's the thing that has to last forever. But people don't really plan past the ring and the wedding day. They don't find out, okay, is our religious shit in check? Is our political stuff in check? Do you want to have kids?
Yeah.
That shocks me, the amount of people get married.
And don't talk like, about
oh,
the
he
things.
Didn't want to have kids. And I thought I could change him. It's like, you don't right, want to change right. somebody's mind who doesn't want to have kids.
Right.
Because that's going to be a shitty father. And then as a woman, like I said, I feel like I do a lot compared to most fathers, but ask my wife and I do nothing. She's like, I do everything. You do nothing around the house. And she's kind of right, but but then I think about dads who really do nothing.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's what most women aren't prepared for.
You're like, at least I'm not smoking crack, babe.
I mean, yeah, but you realize the women run the houses. Women do everything.
We're nesters.
Women, I mean, in the morning, okay, let me tell you what I do. I wake up. Sam, can you get up and help us out? Of course, I'm up. My job in the morning is I get the socks for Juliet and my son, Charlie. Liz is making the lunches, doing all that. And also she has to get ready for work too. I'm freelance, so I'm kind of able to, you know, I take the kids to school. But I do kind of feel bad because, yeah, my wife is doing everything and I feel proud of myself because I get the socks for the kids and I put Charlie's shoes on. And then I'm like, let's go to school. I did my job for the morning. But women do everything, you know, from the laundry to the dishes to just and these are not, I'm not saying this in a chauvinistic way, but in a real relationship, men are disgusting and dirty. So what happens is the woman is like, okay, you're disgusting. I'm going to do this. Like, you can live without me. Classic. You know, line a woman tells a man, which is probably true.
Yeah.
But it's hard in a relationship balancing out. I'm trying to make the money. I'm not one of those husbands like, honey, I make the money. You fucking keep my shit clean and I don't want to hear about it. Like, I know husbands who are like that. I could never be like that. I'm not. My wife would have never married a person like that, but there are traditional men who have that expectation.
That's crazy.
Of the women, and you know,
I mean, some women just don't cook, you know. I'm a country girl, so I was.
So you cook?
Oh yeah, I make sure to bring a hot plate to my mate.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that before. No, my wife, she's a tomboy. She's like, no, fuck you.
For me, cleaning up. I mean, there were phases where I didn't clean up as much, but I usually would clean up before he would.
Yeah.
But he was actually
cleaning business. I mean,
a little OCD.
You're a neat freak. You know, most men.
So, yeah.
Have you seen like a frat house, like how men live? I mean, it's disgusting. Yeah. Like cigarette butts everywhere, beer cans. White men in particular.
Not that he wouldn't get to the dishes, but I can't stand looking at them. So I'm going to just clean them
right
up.
And that's what
I'm not going to bitch about it because I just clean it and problem solve.
My mom always said, be careful of what you start doing in a marriage because that'll be your job throughout the marriage. You know, like for the men, like I take out the trash, you know, like that's my job. I fucking fix the gate when it breaks or, you know, I mean, that's what we do, men and women. We have our
I was little... fixing the shit too. I was fixing.
Right. But what's harder for a single mother, you have to do both those. You know?
Yeah. I was doing that when I was married too, because I'm just handy.
There you go.
Yeah.
And he was probably like, oh, I'll let you do it, honey, because you're handy. And he's like,
well, no, I mean, I think there was this thing where he felt like he wanted to take that role sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, I mean, as a man, you know, I feel it's my thing when I take out the trash, you know, we're not afraid to get dirty. It's heavy, bulky.
Yeah.
Slinging or, you know, I mean, it's kind of.
So there was this kind of competition happening with us.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't great because. I would just try to hold back my body language because he would take on a project that I could have, like, he switched out a light fixture in the kitchen. And it took him a really, really long time.
Right. You're like, wow, you are dumb.
No.
Okay. When you see somebody.
But I just, you know, I was trying to help and clearly he did not want my help.
Oh, I see. Right.
Right.
He clearly needed it.
So I had to back off and just be like, all right, 4 hours later.
Yeah. As a woman, if you want to know, like, if some guy's marriage material, just see, get it something from IKEA and ask him to put it together for you.
Hilarious.
Just see how long it takes him. Because, you know, part of being, I'll never forget when I first moved to LA, I agreed to run the grill for a friend of mine at her party she was having. And I had been grilling all day. And so I took a break and got into the hot tub. And this, like, kind of handsome actor friend of hers, like, hey, I was wondering, there's no more burgers. Do you think I could, you know, you could grill up some more? And I was like, well, you know what, man? I was like, just in case this acting thing doesn't work out, you're probably going to want to know how to grill a burger. So, you know, why don't you go help your fucking self? I'm not making you a burger.
What the fuck?
But it was just, yeah.
Yeah.
Typical man, you know. He was asking me to make him a burger. I was like, got to have some skill sets.
So, well.
Yeah, this was good, though. I mean, we're worried about that sweet spot, Sam, you know, that G-spot.
The G-spot?
The G-spizzle.
Is that a real thing?
I think it is.
I mean, I would imagine my G-spot, my favorite spot, is my clitoris.
Mine too. That's crazy. I mean, isn't that where the G-spot is?
Something you could reach with your peen while you're having intercourse.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Okay.
I was
today years old when I learned that.
There's supposed to be a spot back there, and there may be an erogenous zone back there.
You got to get deep. If you get deep, you hit that G-spot.
Yeah, maybe.
There's that point when you know you're getting deep. I even told my wife, too, recently, when I realized getting older, if I've worked out or if I'm, like, hot or something, it's hard to keep blood in your... You realize why erectile dysfunction happens. Because you realize, the man, you really have to keep in shape. Because sex is a very physical activity. Like, you're doing a one-arm push-up for, you know, a half hour or something, you know, like running.
Right.
So I realize, like, older men, if they're kind of heavy set, of course they can't have sex for that long and or keep blood going to their dick because their heart can't pump it fast enough because they're out of shape. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I feel like the better health-wise you are, the more healthy your sex life is, too.
Yeah, I would imagine that makes sense.
So, yeah, guys, lose those LBs and...
You know, actually, I read an article.
When you lose weight.
Say that.
Tiffany told me your dick grows when you lose weight.
Yeah, when a guy loses weight, it gets bigger. You know, the funny thing is, I did read an article back when there's lots of penis articles.
Yeah, I've heard about those.
And this one was explaining that men with larger penises, like monsters,
live the life.
No, they
the monster squad, the pipe squad.
They live the life. No, they have a hard time keeping it up.
Yes, I also think there's
because
another
there's so
advantage.
Much blood
there's
that needs
too
to...
much. I mean, think about it as a balloon or a bag,
right?
You know what I mean?
Kinda
that
looks
is
like what?
Okay, if you have something this big, that's
yeah,
a lot of blood for your body and your heart to continually pump in there. So sometimes that's how we've gone and talked. That happy medium is And like I said, I've realized that how I've gotten older. If I get in the hot tub. And then I worked out, and if, like I said, if you're at a point where you've already worked out of your, it can cause the blood not to flow as well, I realize.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had to use pills, you know, knock on wood. So I'd like to.
Maybe one day.
No, Sam, no. I mean, I'd like to make it through my
You never tried that?
No. I've just been kind of scared that I'd have a 4-hour erection that I didn't know what to do with it. Right?
Let me tell you something. If I ever had a 4-hour erection,
okay,
I would definitely figure out what to do with it.
Right. But it's going to start hurting after a while.
Oh, really? Probably.
Well, yeah, dude, you're like, okay, I'm good. Like, go down. Right? After 2 hours, maybe.
So you're saying, okay, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've never.
I don't need to have 4-hour sex at this.
And then I imagine priapism is even after you ejaculate. It's still hard.
It's still there, dude. You're like, still here.
Awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce. Yeah, but no, luckily I've not had to use those.
4 hours too long.
4 hours is too long. I would like to stay a la natural, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the way to go. But it would be fun on some of those nights. Like drunk nights, pop a blue pill and
just
smash.
And you and the wife getting crazy.
Right.
Out in the rented cabin away from the children.
Right.
Right, but the babysitter
is watching in the corner. No,
do some role play, rape fantasies.
Come on, and tag in. She's done. I got 4 more hours on this boner. She's done.
What else are we gonna do?
We're 2 hours in.
Lord,
I'm
mercy.
It's halftime. Okay,
that's a long time.
That's when you'd have to have multiple women ready to sub it in if I had a 4-hour boner.
So that's what happens if you take the Viagra and there's nothing wrong with your penis. You're gonna have a 4-hour.
I think so.
Orgasm. But
I think...
if you're already having a problem, then.
I think, and
the
then
Viagra
you build up, and then eventually
you
it's
out.
Not, you'd have to have more and more and more and more. And then especially,
right.
I know people who do cocaine, and then they throw a Viagra on it.
Ooh.
Your heart must just be like, fuck you.
Yeah, he's definitely pulling your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, Samson.
This was great.
Yeah.
I'm gonna lube my lips up. On gloss it up. That was great, Sam. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we kind of, you know, sometimes we wing it on this, on the King Abrams show. And so tonight we've done it again. I don't want to make excuses, but sometimes it is hard to find time to really prepare, especially when we can just go ham and shoot from the hip, Samson, and still create such a great chemistry.
Chat it up.
That's the beauty of it. Yeah, so hey, if you like the podcast, please be sure to like and subscribe, leave a comment as well. And if you want to support the show, you can, right, there it is. There's my book. I wrote a book called The Complete Player, which is a neurological description of the love game between the player and his mark. So this is a brain science book, people. This is a very funny and academic book about how humans work when it comes to sex, love, lust, and heartbreak. So you can find it on Amazon. You can get the paperback or the ebook. And my usual co-host, Dr. Brian King, also wrote a book called The Art of Taking It Easy, which hung at number one bestseller for several weeks this year. Both of us have been in the bestseller category, but he was at number one. I've never been at number one. The Art of Taking It Easy. You can also find his book on Amazon. You can get the hardback, paperback, or the ebook, and you can get his book in different languages. And our producer is Samson Krupen,
mm-hmm.
who I have so much fun with every week. also dropped a comedy special. Tell me about this.
That's right, I did.
Metaverse. The first Metaverse.
It's the first comedy club in the Metaverse, which it's still kind of a in the Metaverse, so we're still trying to find it out there. okay. But more importantly, I've released my first stand-up special at slicedcomedy.com. You can see it below. And I've had my special recently. This will be the first I've announced it. I think I can kind of say it, but I've had it picked up to Comedy Dynamics.
Yeah.
So that'll be on all of their streaming platforms. And then also...
Congratulations. You did mention that last week.
And then also, this is something an exclusive, which I'm not sure if I'm really supposed to say, but I believe I'm going to start producing stand-up specials for them as well.
Awesome.
For comedians in our kind of circle who are underserved and
lots of talent there.
Lots of talent.
Undiscovered.
And so I believe they're going to be giving me the kind of pipeline to do that.
That's
so
wonderful.
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more after, but yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
Hey, well, listen, we appreciate you guys tuning in. You guys are now officially the Replay crew because we are no longer streaming live. So we're recording live. We make zero edits and we just upload this bad baby every Thursday. All right. And we usually record at 5 p.m. Pacific. So every Thursday evening, you should be able to check in and watch our show. We thank you for watching. We thank you for listening. This has been another case of the King Abrams Show.